Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Easter Monday, April the 2nd. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I am Wanjiko Mwaura.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo.
Coming up, South Africans react to the news of Winnie Mandela's death.
Oh my God. Sure, I feel so sad, man. She was the mother of the nation.
Well, it's shocking because for one, she looked like a person who's immortal to us. Like, we didn't expect this to come so soon.
And at least 18 people have been killed in an attack by Boko Haram in Maiduguri.
The Boko Haram insurgents are still kidnapping and attacking the innocent citizens of this country. The life of citizens of Nigeria is not safe.
We'll bring you those stories plus your reactions after we get a glimpse of what's been taking place around the world.
I'm Shay Monike with DW News. South African anti-apartheid campaigner Winnie Mandela has died at the age of 81. A family spokesperson said the activist died peacefully among her family and friends following a long illness. She was known for speaking out against segregation and inequalities in the social system. She was married with South African activist Nelson Mandela for 38 years. DW spoke to correspondent Subri Governor in South Africa, who said Winnie Mandela was a frontline activist.
She was one of the most bravest women who stood fearlessly in fighting for the freedom of all South Africans. She was one of the people, they said, that stood out in the front, on the front line, and then fought for the freedom of South Africans.
Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi has been re-elected, winning a second four-year term against his sole opponent, Musa Mustafa Musa. The nation's election commission announced the results on Monday, reporting that the voter turnout was around 40%. El-Sisi received some 97% of the vote. In Ethiopia, the nation's parliament has sworn in Abiy Ahmed as prime minister, replacing former prime minister Hailemariam Desalegn, who quit amid calls by the ruling party for democratic reform. Abiy took his oath of office in a ceremony in capital Addis Ababa, pledging to bring about democracy to the embattled nation.
It is impossible to think about democracy without freedom. Freedom is not a gift from the government to the people. Rather, it is a natural endowment emanating from humanity. It is therefore which are enshrined in our constitution.
This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced Monday that Canada, Italy, and Germany have agreed to receive Israel's mostly African migrants. According to the deal, around 16,000 migrants are to depart from Israel for Western countries, while thousands of others are to temporarily remain in Israel. The newly agreed deal was made after Netanyahu reached an agreement with the UN Refugee Agency and after he scrapped a deal to send the mostly Sudanese and Eritrean migrants back to Africa. Around 42,000 migrants remain in the country. Sierra Leone's opposition People's Party announced in capital Freetown that its candidate Julius Maada Bio has won in a delayed presidential runoff election, winning some 54% of the vote. Ruling party candidate Samora Kamara finished with around 46%, according to the opposition party's results. The ruling party has, however, disputed the results. The candidates were vying to replace former President Ernest Bai Koroma, who served 2 5-year terms. And now in sports, American tennis player John Isner won his maiden Masters title, beating German Alexander Zverev in the Miami Open final. The 20-year-old German rose to number 4 among the tennis world rankings with his performance, while Isner moved into the ninth spot. Spanish star Rafael Nadal sits at number 1. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You're listening to Africa Link. I'm Wanjiko Mwaura.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo in Bonn, Germany.
We kick off the show with some sad news coming from South Africa. Winnie Mandela, the ex-wife of Nelson Mandela, has died. Her family said she died peacefully after a long illness.
Like her former husband, Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela was an anti-apartheid activist. In 1990, the world watched in admiration as she joined Nelson Mandela after he was freed from prison, but 2 years later, they divorced. Subri Govender has been telling me how South Africans are reacting to Winnie Mandela's death.
Most South Africans are really shocked at the death of Winnie Madikizela Mandela. They have reacted by saying that, you know, she was one of the most bravest women who stood fearlessly in fighting for the freedom of all South Africans. And she was not afraid of the former apartheid regime, the white minority regime that, you know, held her husband for nearly 27 years on Robben Island and really, you know, brought about the suppression of the majority black people. Here are some of the South Africans I had spoken to.
Oh, my God. Sure, I'm feel so sad, man. She was the mother of the nation. She struggled from, I won't know from when, but I know it's a strong woman. Ish, may her soul rest in peace. As I'm telling you now, she was the mother of the nation. Is the one who make us remember her husband, our father.
Well, it's shocking because for one, she looked like a person who's immortal to us. Like, we didn't expect this to come so soon. Yeah, so we're very saddened by the fact that she's passed away. She was a role model to me, an icon to me.
And at the time of her death, how influential, how powerful was she in South African politics?
Well, the ruling African National Congress always regarded her in high esteem, and they always went to her for advice. And whenever she, found that any of the ruling ANC was going haywire, she would, you know, speak out against it. I mean, she spoke out against the former president, Jacob Zuma. And she also spoke out, you know, when the killings at Marikana took place, she really spoke out and she said that she would take the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, to Marikana to console with the people of Marikana who suffered. So she in fact, had some influence over the ruling ANC.
Subri Govender in South Africa. And Wanjiku, lots of messages on our Facebook page of condolences for Winnie Mandela's family.
Yes, indeed. And we asked you, how are you going to remember her? Davis Madaraka said, rest in peace, great African freedom fighter.
Hakim Ibrahim Farijala says, as a real model, may her soul rest in eternal peace.
And Basi writes to say, a great African Amazon has fallen. We pray God to give South Africans the fortitude to bear this great loss.
And Divine Gorotin saying, I'll remember her as a woman who stood up for her people, an inspiration for the black race.
And one last one before we move on. Ikonde writes to say, she fought gallantly against oppression. She will definitely rest in the bosom of the Lord.
Right, and now to Nigeria, where at least 18 people have been killed after Boko Haram attacked an army base and surrounding villages in Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State in the north of the country. President Muhammadu Buhari's government recently declared the Islamists a defeated enemy, but since then the militants have stepped up attacks. From northern Nigeria, Alamin Muhammad has more on the story.
A number of insurgents attacked Baleshua and Balekura communities near Maiduguri in an attempt to infiltrate the town at about 8 p.m. on Sunday evening. Witnesses report hearing sporadic gunshots and multiple explosions, which lasted for 2 hours. Residents and local vigilante confirmed that 18 persons died while trying to escape the fight between the insurgents and the military, while over 60 others that sustained varying degrees of injuries were taken to a hospital where they are responding to treatment. Alhaji Bello Dambata, spokesman of a local vigilante, also known as civilian JTF, describes the aftermath of the attack.
So far, the one we lost their life in Baleshua, we have 15 people. And in Balekura, we have 3 people. People were evacuated in the night to the hospital. We evacuated 60 people. And then this morning, still we are evacuating some people to the specialist hospital.
But the Nigerian military said in a statement on Monday that 15 persons, including a soldier, are killed and 63 others sustained injuries in the night attack. The attack comes after one person was killed and 13 others injured when the suicide bomber struck a village on the outskirts of Maiduguri, the Borno State capital. Abubakar Abdullahi, a resident of Maiduguri, called on the military to do more to save people's lives in the area.
The Boko Haram insurgents are still kidnapping and attacking the innocent citizens of this country. In fact, something needs to be done urgently on this issue. The life of citizens of Nigeria is not safe. Federal government needs to intervene in this issue, definitely.
Earlier this year, President Muhammadu Buhari once again claimed to have defeated Boko Haram. But Hamza Umar Usman, a political analyst, says it's too early to declare so.
They make a hasty statement. If it is a conventional war, one can clearly come out and say it, I am a victor, or this one is a loser. But those people, they don't have a face. They will have so many tactics. It's unprofessional for them to come out clearly and say they defeated Boko Haram. No, no, it's not over yet. These people are looking for sub-target and they can always hit.
And that report was compiled by Alamin Mohammed in northern Nigeria.
It's a face-off between the globe's top two economies, the US and China, and it's set to be ugly. There's financial market tension over a trade war between the United States and China, and Beijing's tit-for-tat tariffs on US imports kick in today. As the government says, the move is to safeguard China's interest and balance losses caused by new American tariffs. Ben Faisalin from DW News earlier talked with Andrea Heng, who is based in Singapore, and she starts by explaining the trade war that has technically broke out. When could it get ugly?
Well, in the first place, Trump's tariff policy, so-called, it's widely disputed as the one-all, end-all solution for its trade deficit, which is yawning right now, yawningly wide. But on the other hand, yes, China is regularly accused of IP infringement or intellectual property infringement. It's a tricky pond to wade into, Ben, because a lot of American brand tech products outsourced to or manufactured in China itself. So they actually really do need each other.
And in this case, I should point out, China is going by the rules book. It's doing everything it should, according to the WTO. But just tell me about this U.S. food import duty hike of Beijing's. It's going to hit American farmers, including corn growers who produce ethanol, with some Chinese refineries saying it now makes no sense to import that ethanol, but rather buy it local because of the higher import tariffs.
Absolutely. Now that that price difference is gone, there's virtually no cost savings on China's part. So it's a good opportunity for China to grow its domestic market, ethanol specifically in this case where we're talking about. So with that price difference gone and eliminated, that demand is now going to be transferred to the local Chinese market.
And we're still monitoring your comments on our Facebook page, DW Africa. So in case you're wondering where these comments coming from, go over and leave your own thoughts. And we've received comments on this particular report. Chidi Kingsley says they will only stop Islamic Boko Haram when President Buhari is being arrested for sponsoring them. This is what he writes on our Facebook page.
And Promise Isaac says foreign interest in the Nigerian crude oil and gas, that is why they're supporting Buhari just for the interest of corruption.
And John Shi says Boko Haram, or whatever they call themselves, is carrying out a terrorist attack, but instead of the Nigerian government to fight them, they are turning and arresting innocent people who are also fleeing the same terror.
It's interesting how much the Nigerian government is being attacked or accused of this Boko Haram insurgency. And then it's not like they're supporting the government, but they're more like attacking the government for not doing enough to protect the citizens.
Even though reports have come out saying that in some villages they have had sympathizers, have had sympathizers in some of the villages.
Right.
So it's a complicated issue still.
It is. Anyway, let's go on with Robin Obi, who says empowering the federation units rather than the central government would help.
And Hakim Ibrahim says, if Boko Haram was to be here in Uganda, by now there would be history. My president, His Excellency Yoweri Museveni, is good at war.
he's known. He was actually a former rebel leader. But Buhari was also a commander before he became president as well. So
and
it's not as if he's not a military guy.
That he would bring this military expertise to fight the Boko Haram.
But until now, Boko Haram still continues to cause mayhem and havoc in Nigeria. Go Divine Go says dialogue is the only solution because terrorists are just disgruntled human beings.
This is an interesting perspective.
It is, because they're talking about, they're having talks about ceasefire.
Exactly, and encouraging discussion amongst communities. So it's not just them versus us, but what can we do to solve this issue?
That's true. And interestingly, as they continue to talk, the attacks seem to become more and more bigger and more deadlier.
Yes,
anyway, keep
is.
Those comments coming in at our Facebook page and we'll read them whenever we can. You're listening to Africa Link with me, Crispin Mwakideu.
And I'm Onjiko Mwaura.
We're also live on Facebook, so do join the debate there and let us know your thoughts on the stories we are covering.
Now, coming up in the next 15 minutes, the tallying of the Sierra Leonean's presidential runoff election is finally continuing.
So when it's done, since it's so transparent and we all see it, we don't expect anyone to reject the outcome of the final results.
We shall also be hearing how a shortage of blood is affecting patients in Uganda, plus a look at sports with our correspondent, Samson Omale.
But first, to Sierra Leone, where the opposition Sierra Leone People's Party, SLPP, said its candidate, Julius Maada Bio, had won a presidential runoff election according to its own compilation of results, while the ruling party said it held a comfortable lead.
This comes just after the tallying of the results were paused because the ruling All People's Congress Party had rejected the tallying method that the country's election commission was using and instead wanted to use Microsoft Excel. Well,
I talked to Claudia Anthony, who is on the ground, and she started by explaining the current situation.
So this morning, there was a very high-level meeting with the two candidates. That's the APC's presidential candidate, Samora Kamara, and the SLPP, the opposition SLPP candidate, Julius Maada Bio. A very high-profile meeting this morning. It was done by election observers from the Commonwealth, the European Union, and the United Nations. And at the end of the day, they came out with an agreement. The parties signed the agreement. They shook hands and hugged in front of the press and all those who had gone to observe. And this agreement has to do with using the next system, the system already there, that they tally this, that they get this information from the reconciliation and results forms and then input that into the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. So it's like they are using now both of what these two parties wanted. So it's like a compromise that was struck.
What has been the reaction of Sierra Leoneans?
People have been very angry. It was almost like a standstill in the past few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks or so. Schools closed down, people, business is very slow, people want things to go back to normal. And you can see the mood on social media and even people on the streets, they are grumbling. They said, "But let's then finish with this thing and let's get our lives back together." You see, so that's the mood here.
If there is another tie of the election results, what would be the likely scenario that we would experience?
That was one of the things former president of Ghana, Mahama, made mention of, that this document that they signed also has to deal with accepting the results of the polls at the end of the day. Because both parties now agree that we use A or B system to do this stuff. So when it's done, since it's so transparent and we all see it, we don't expect anyone to reject the outcome of the final results.
That was Claudia Anthony in Sierra Leone.
And on our Facebook page, Isaac Ehosa Godwin says, "Politicians, oh, I wonder why democracy is so disgusting nowadays."
And Odong Joffrey says, "Opposition's opinion must be fulfilled as a measure of free and fair elections. Otherwise, the election is rigged," he writes.
Right, Wanjiku, and we have to acknowledge some of the followers and listeners that have joined us on our Facebook Live.
I see Ayo. Hi. Hello back. I also see Amadu Musa. Hello. We appreciate these greetings, eh?
Right. And Paul McKelly on the death of Winnie Mandela says, "My heart goes out to the Mandela's family and to the nation of South Africa. May her soul rest in peace."
And Chimeka says, "The Boko Haram's..." I cannot read that on air, but yeah, keep those comments coming on our Facebook page. That's DW Africa.
Health check.
Now, Uganda continues to face massive blood shortage that has resulted to the loss of lives. Various organizations embarked on blood donation drives earlier this year, but have not collected enough blood required to meet the high demand. Our correspondent Alex Jita reports that in an upcountry hospitals, patients are asked to pay for blood, which should be free of charge.
The blood crisis is well into the third month after it was first reported in January. According to the Uganda Blood Bank, normally enough blood is collected in December and January, which was not the case this time round. The spokesperson of the bank, Michael Mukundane, explained.
I wouldn't say it is still alarming as it had started, because we have had very serious campaigns in which we have collected blood and we are distributing. But you know, every day we need 1,000 units of blood for the whole country.
Much as the situation is being played down by the blood collectors, it is understood that out of 1,000 units required, the blood bank can only provide 600 units. There is a deficit of 400 people who do not get blood, which sometimes leads to loss of life. But Mukundane told DW that collection of blood in Uganda has been low because people are not so keen on donating it.
To get 50 donors, it's not very easy. Look at Kampala in the city. I am sure the population is about 2 million during the day. And for one team to get 50 units, it's not easy. That's why I'm saying that the community response towards blood donation is not very good.
As a result, the poor folks, more especially in upcountry hospitals, are suffering the most, to the extent that they are being asked to pay for the little available blood. A female patient at Kamuli Government Hospital in eastern Uganda told DW that she was asked to pay 50,000 Uganda shillings, that's about $14, for a unit of blood. The other patients who did not have money say they were asked to wait until more blood was received.
I was told that my child needed blood urgently, but they did not have it at the hospital. They were going to find it, so they asked me to pay 50,000 Ugandan shillings.
I need to be operated on, but only if I get blood. So they asked me to come back today, but they have told me there's no blood.
In 2016, the United States of America cut off a funding program to the Uganda Blood Transfusion Services, UBTS. This money was being used to transport teams to communities to run blood donation campaigns. Government of Uganda has not covered this funding gap. But as the executive director of UBTS tells us, the government promises to do more.
They have promised to give us all the money we need for blood collection and testing activities, so this is not going to be a problem anymore.
The funding is also required to buy testing kits to examine received blood before it is passed on to the patients who need it. These kits are currently not available. The blood donation drives continue with the hope that more numbers will turn up to give blood and avoid more loss of life.
Alex Jita reporting from Kampala, Uganda.
And now let's turn to sports with Samson Omale with a look ahead of the Commonwealth Games.
We begin the sports with the Commonwealth Games. With less than 48 hours to go to the opening ceremony of the Games in Gold Coast, Australia, the indefinite suspension of transfer allegiance by the International Association of Athletics Federation has stopped British-born Nigerian high jumper Mike Edwards from representing the country at the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. 27-year-old Edwards, who is a part of the athletics team already in the Gold Coast, took to social media to protest the decision of the World Athletics Body in preventing him from representing Nigeria at the Commonwealth Games. I spoke to two sports analysts here in Abuja, Deji Ogeimbo and Shegu Oduayo, on the prospects of Team Africa at the 2018 Commonwealth Games, where they have ranked South Africa, Kenya and Nigeria to do better.
The Kenyans will once again dominate the long distance races. How about the South African Caster Semenya? If she's dominating the 800 meter race at the world stage, the Commonwealth Games will just be a cakewalk for her too. So she should be so dominant in that regard.
Athletics is a very strong point for Africa. We all know how well our ladies have done. And I think if there's any other queen we should be talking about in athletics, it has to be Blessing Okagbare. She's been on fire recently. She broke an African record less than a week ago. With these two ladies, I think in athletics, we might just come back home with some very wonderful medals.
We stay with athletics. Zimbabwean Justin Kimboi Chizere is the winner of the 49th edition of the Two Oceans Marathon that is currently underway in Cape Town. The second place was taken by Lebenya Nkoka from Lesotho, and third place was taken by South Africa's David Gatebe. In the women's category, first place was claimed by South Africa's Grenda Steyn.
I'm so happy to be here today and in first position. It's a dream come true. 2 years ago, I was 14th place. I didn't run last year. Unfortunately, I had to miss that one. But I've seen a lot of improvement in the last 2 years. And I'm just so grateful to be here today in first position.
Kenya Olympic 5,000 meters champion Vivian Cheruiyot has said she will only retire if she wins the marathon gold in Tokyo 2020. Vivian Cheruiyot says she believes that the 2020 Tokyo Olympics will give her a perfect opportunity to bow out in style after a stellar career. Cheruiyot is also preparing for this year's London Marathon later this month, where she will be facing defending champion Mary Kitiani.
Now I have graduated to longer distance as the year has gone by. I hope to do an Olympic in marathon before I hang my spikes.
Negotiations for a world heavyweight title unification fight between Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder will start next week. Nigeria-born British heavyweight boxer Anthony Joshua is eyeing Wilder's WBC belt after adding the WBO title to his IBF and WBA crowns with a unanimous points win over Joseph Parker on Saturday.
That was Samson Omale with the Africa Sports Roundup.
Now, Wanjiku, let's go back to our main story. That is the death of Winnie Mandela, the ex-wife of former South African President Nelson Mandela. And the comments are still pouring in.
Yes, indeed. Benson says she fought a good fight and won.
And Mike Abglevor says, Winnie, rest in peace.
Haruna says, R.I.P. Winnie, your name is written in the African history book.
I like that. And then we have a comment here from Samuel G. Sam, who says, the most hyped couple of all times, that is Nelson Mandela and Winnie Mandela, who eventually did not achieve what they set out to achieve, that is freeing South Africa from subjugation. They were overpowered by imperial power to conform, which they did with the lure of luxury and fame, while the masses still live in abject poverty.
And Basi Ikubi says, a great African Amazon has fallen. Rest in peace.
Yeah, so keep those comments coming in on not only the Winnie Mandela story, but also other African stories that we have posted on our Facebook page. And one of them is that Israel has struck a deal with the United Nations to settle many African migrants in European countries. Now, this cancels the plan to deport them to Africa. There were reports that they were to be deported to Uganda and to Rwanda.
Yes, indeed.
So we asked you on Facebook, how do you feel about your fellow Africans being tossed around?
Now, this is something that lots of people have commented on. Julian Sotti says, African states must develop and create more opportunities for Africans to move about in Africa and also have the financial ability to take holidays anywhere on earth.
Otumfo Odinga says, I am happy where I am, in the same Africa they are running from. And that's a very interesting comment, because these migrants did not even want to be deported to Africa. They were willing to spend time in Israeli prisons, but not to be deported to Africa.
Which gives us the sad situation, or a picture of where it is they're coming from, perhaps. If where they are being told they would be taken back to African countries is so bad that they prefer to be in prison, then what really is going wrong and what can be done to change the situation?
A very good question.
Now, moving on to more comments, Mzee Nyabondo says, anyone can be an immigrant. It's not something that you can plan for or against. It can come whether you want it or not. What Israel is doing is wrong.
And Patrick Buyaya says, running away from their homeland will not give them a better life, but more suffering. Let them stay home and die fighting for their liberties than to die running away like chicken thieves. It's a strong comment. But on the other hand, I mean, if like you mentioned earlier, if these people are coming from a country like Eritrea, where we know freedoms are really restricted, so it's hard to go back to this country.
And also had to fight for the liberties, where in other places you would be able to vocalize the need to want better from your government, for example.
Right. And Emmanuel Nwodo says, no bad feelings. Germany is thirsty for immigrants and has been forcing other European countries to take more. So Chancellor Angela Merkel should gladly take them. And interestingly, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said that Italy, Germany and Canada are some of the countries that will take these African migrants.
all this on DW Africa. My name is Wanjiku Mwaura.
I'm Crispin Mwakideo. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, bye-bye.